T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
We will have Ralph Russo, our friend from the Associated Press, college football insider, join us in studio coming up here. Just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about the latest in the college football playoff rankings and how he sees the final couple of weeks of the season unfolding. Speaking of, brand new Nomad episode is out, my trip to Auburn. You know, once a year since I graduated college back in 01, a buddy of mine and I decided, okay, let's do college football road trips. We were at Cuse when McNabb was there. Dwight Freeney was there, and they were great teams. I mean, we went to the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, which feels like a long time ago. But knowing what that felt like, you know, Michael Vick came into the dome. When Miami came into the dome with all of their stars, boy, that was special. And we said, let's experience some of the other schools and experiences around the country. And so we've gotten to do a lot of them. I mean, Nebraska, UCLA, USC, the Swamp, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, College Station. The list goes on and on and on. He was able to do the Big House of Michigan, as well as Wisconsin to Camp Randall. I still got to get up to those. But we have done so many cool ones. I just got back from Auburn, and so we decided, let's go to the Auburn game this year, and why don't we pick a pretty good opponent? We picked Georgia. Little did we know Georgia would be undefeated going into that game and the number one team of the country. Obviously, you know what happened. Auburn dismantled the Bulldogs on Saturday. The atmosphere was amazing. Toomer's Corner getting rolled was amazing. The War Eagle chant and the Eagle flying in, just fantastic. And so I tried to capture that spirit of that energy as part of my Nomad Digital Travel Series, which is available now on YouTube that I've tweeted out and put on Facebook. So if you want to check that out, you can search that or just go to either one of my social media channels, because it was an amazing experience. And then the flip side of that is, well, now things in the SEC just got real, because now you've got Auburn, who could have a path, has a path to the college football playoff, we assume, Georgia and Alabama. And joining us here in studio to discuss is our good friend Ralph Russo from the Associated Press. Ralph, how you doing?
Hey, DA, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. So have you ever been down to Auburn?
When that eagle comes swooping down.
It's extraordinary.
Chills, right?
It's extraordinary.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, cool. They let that eagle go, and then he just soars around the stadium and comes down into the field, yeah. And everyone goes, War Eagle!
It is. I mean, listen, it's hard to almost decipher which SEC school is best, because they're all really, really good as far as the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But Auburn's pretty special when that eagle comes down.
So when seeing what we saw in that game, mm-hmm. Do you now have doubts about Georgia's ability to get to a college football playoff?
Well, I mean, now it's pretty simple for Georgia. They're going to have to either beat Auburn or beat Alabama.
Do you believe they could do either one of those?
I hate to overreact off of one game. I think often, you know, it's so easy to say, wow, you know, look what happened. They just got torn apart, that they couldn't change. I mean, these teams do change from week to week a little bit.
And Georgia did have a lead in that game early. They punched in the first touchdown.
Right, but then they went completely off
ice
the
cold.
Board. I think it's going to be hard for them, and it's been an issue all year that they've been able to hide, right? They really don't want to put too much on Fromm. They don't have necessarily great receivers, so they're a little limited in the passing game. They've been able to sort of hide it all year because they're so good running the ball and their defense is so good. But against a really good opponent, can you do that? You know, I would be skeptical, and they're going to be the underdog no matter who they face in the SEC championship game. But I'd hate to say they can't do it.
Do you think Alabama could end up as last year's or this year's Ohio State? In other words, they lose one game of the regular season. That would be to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Auburn would go to the SEC title game, but the committee would still say, well, Alabama with one loss is still one of the four best teams in the country, and they're going to the playoff.
Yeah, I think it could happen, but here's the big difference. And here's the place where I think it could happen because it's Alabama, and I think they're always going to pass the eye test, right? Big difference, though. Last year on Selection Sunday, when Ohio State got picked, without being in the conference championship game, Ohio State had three victories against the committee's top 10, final top 10, three 10-win teams, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Michigan. Ohio State had all that on its resume. Two of those games were away from home. Alabama won't have that. Alabama's going to get in because of, hey, it's Alabama, the eye test, they're so dominant. Look, I mean, listen, you can't look at Alabama and not think that's one of the four or five best teams in the country, but it's not going to have that kind of resume that Ohio State had. If it loses to Auburn, you're talking about Mississippi State, LSU as its best two wins. Neither of those teams are winning 10 games.
And this Iron Bowl is going to happen at Jordan-Hare. And we just saw, I mean, I was just in that energy. I said, my God, I can't believe they don't go undefeated inside this building every single year. It's so remarkable. Do you think that Auburn could pull the trick and beat Alabama at home coming up?
I do, and you see what happens. Listen, when we talk about Alabama, everything is always relative to Alabama. So when I say Alabama's shown a little vulnerability, it's relative to other Alabama teams, right? The linebackers are beat up. They're not quite as deep along the front line, along the defensive line as they have been. They're still pretty talented, but they're just not rolling out seven or eight guys the way they have been the past couple of years. They've given up some run yardage against LSU and against Mississippi State. Both of those teams had success moving the ball in ways that, you know, you don't always see Alabama have teams that face Alabama move the ball. So, you know, if I see what LSU's done and I see what Mississippi State's done, why can't Auburn do that? I have to think that Auburn is capable of doing that. Auburn plays really good defense. Yeah, I mean, I think the matchup works pretty well. You know, I mean, you know, the guys in Vegas tend to know what they're talking about, and I think right now it's about it's Alabama by three.
Mm. The alpha male in the SEC has always been, at least the last couple of years, Alabama. But, boy, if Auburn goes through Georgia, Alabama, and then Georgia again at the SEC title game, be pretty significant. You know, elsewhere, the ACC in the playoff rankings, as Ralph Russo, the Associated Press, joins us here in studio, Clemson is ranked ahead of Miami. It's not really all that important until they meet one another, but do you think that Clemson is a better football team than Miami?
If I'm choosing between Clemson and Miami, I'm probably choosing Clemson. And I do wonder if my choice is somewhat similar to what's going on in that room, in the selection committee room, and why Clemson was number two. You know, I don't think they're not supposed to, you know, factor in what's happened the last couple of years, but subconsciously, this is a Clemson team that almost won the national championship 2 years ago, won the national championship last year. And over the last 3 years, while they've had a couple of slip-ups, Syracuse and Pitt last year, when you've put them in big games, they've won them all. We joke about like the old Clemsoning was, hey, they'd always lose a game when you thought they weren't supposed to. Well, the new Clemsoning is they always win the big game.
Rise to the occasion.
So I can't help but think that there's a little of that permeating that room in that assessment when you start looking at Clemson and going, you know, is it Clemson? Is it Miami? I mean, what have we seen out of Clemson over the last couple of years? I also think there's a little bit of that Miami hangover from four straight weeks of pulling out games where they really could have lost.
Against mediocre foes.
I do think it played. Miami fans went nuts on Twitter the other night, and I constantly was saying what you said. Listen, it really doesn't matter. Just win your games, you get in. There is something to being third that might worry Miami fans and be a reasonable thing to worry about. Can Miami get in the playoff losing the Clemson game?
No.
In other words, if they're 11-1 and they, right, if they're going to that game 11-1, remember they've lost the game to the Hurricane, go into that game 11-1 and lose, can they get in? You know, maybe, maybe not. But it doesn't look like if you're second, maybe you think, oh yeah, well, because if we lose to Clemson and it's a close game, you know, we don't fall that far. I'm thinking it's going to be hard for Miami to lose that game and get in. Miami fans think that they should.
They'd have to. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of help if they lose that ACC title game to try to get in. I don't think that would end up happening because we still have this Wisconsin situation brewing. And in your mind, if Wisconsin wins the Big Ten title, there's no doubt they're going to get in, right?
I think if they win undefeated, there's no doubt. I think if they were to slip up to Michigan this week, which I don't think is out of the question, by the way, Michigan plays good defense, and Wisconsin's got a quarterback who's thrown 12 interceptions, 11 in Big Ten games, right? So that's complicating that situation. But I do think if Wisconsin rolls through here and is 13-0, there it's fine. I think, you know, the other side of it is what happens if Ohio State runs through here? And then it becomes, well, is it 11-2 Ohio State or 11-1 Miami, if you play that game? But I do think Wisconsin should be fine if they just get through here as champion.
But I would think that the committee would reward a Big Ten champion Ohio State over a team like Miami that lost in its championship.
I tend to agree with you. And I also do think that, you know, listen, Ohio State has gotten the benefit of the doubt in this thing a couple of years
which
now.
I wonder if that hurts them this year, because last year they got destroyed when they got in there.
I sort of posed that question yesterday in talking to another friend of mine who covers college football. And we threw that one around, like, hey, at some point, does Ohio State not get the benefit of the doubt because they have and they didn't come through last year? Again, those conversations don't happen in the room, but you just sort of wonder if they're happening in the back of people's minds.
Yeah. Ralph Russo joins us, Associated Press, College Football Insider, which brings us to Oklahoma. You know, the fact that Oklahoma still remains at number four, despite having three very good wins, including at Ohio State, taking out TCU and Oklahoma State, suggests to me that the committee still doesn't take the Big 12 wins very seriously, that they believe in going to the horseshoe and winning is big. But the other two, I don't know how much they weigh. Do you think it's fair to not really give the Big 12 wins that Oklahoma has that much credit?
Yeah, I think there's a defense wins championships permeating through that room a little bit, which is not necessarily fair to Oklahoma. Listen, Oklahoma's defense is not great, but as I've said a bunch of times now, you got to stop them. Who's stopping this team? I mean, Baker Mayfield is clearly the best quarterback among any of the contenders, right? I mean, if you have we watch football. When you have the best quarterback, that usually gives you at least a little bit of an edge here.
So you're giving the Sooners some chance to win a championship.
Oh, listen, I think when I was doing my, before Tuesday, my top four, my top eight, I think it was, the one place where I got it wrong is I thought Oklahoma was going to be number two. Forget Miami, Clemson. I figured Miami would be number three, Oklahoma would be number two, and Clemson would be four. You know, again, you got to stop them. Baker Mayfield is by far the best quarterback in the country right now, or at least among the contending teams. Their offensive line is elite. It's not just, they're not doing this with smoke and mirrors. They have NFL players on their offensive line. Listen, they're going to have a problem stopping people. It's as simple as that. But you have to stop them, and I don't know who's stopping them. I don't know, even with the really good defenses at Clemson and at Alabama and at Auburn and places like that, I'm not sure who's stopping Oklahoma.
Ralph Russo, Associated Press, joins us in studio. When we come back, let's talk about the coaching vacancies and where the coaching carousel runs. And we're going to play a little game with Ralph as well in studio. So watch it at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Go on your phone right now or your laptop, your PC. Punch us up on your smart TV. Watchda.com. We'll play a little game with terms of coaching vacancies around college football next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Zapped while the sun is out.
What's going on, DA? I've been listening since the inception of the mothership here on CBS Sports Radio on the overnight.
Oh, okay.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The inception. This game preview brought to you by Ferguson. For over 60 years, Ferguson has been the name that pro contractors count on for plumbing, HVAC, waterworks, and more. Put them to work for you at Ferguson.com. Titans and Steelers tonight. Thursday night football. Both teams on four-game win streaks. Both lead their divisions or are in the lead, tied with the lead in their divisions. A win would give the Titans the tiebreaker over the Steelers for a potential bye in the playoffs, if that's possible. All eyes would be on the Steelers' offense. It sputtered again against the Colts' D last week, and that's the worst defense in football. But they got the win. We'll see if they can get off the schneid and play Steelers offense with all those weapons tonight on Thursday Night Football. We'll also talk a lot about this game with Steve Tasker from CBS Sports coming up here in about an hour from now, so stick around for that. Steve Tasker. We'll also ask Steve about the quarterback change that the Bills have made going from Tyrod Taylor to Nate Peterman, the rookie, and as they are 5-4 in the middle of the playoff race, but clearly felt like they needed a jolt. Ralph Russo joins us from the Associated Press, College Football Insider, in studio with us. So we're going to play a little game with him in a few moments. But first, coaching changes. Do you think it's a given Scott Frost leaves UCF? You'll be covering the Knights game at Temple this upcoming weekend.
Do I think it's a given? Yeah. I think it's
hottest commodity.
I think it's highly likely because he will have a lot of good options. I think the more interesting question is probably where will he go, mm-hmm. right? He's probably going to be in the mix at Florida. I think obviously Nebraska. He's a former Nebraska quarterback. They very, very much want him back there. I can say that without question. They very much want him back there. I think he could be in the mix at Tennessee, and I think Texas A&M will open up and all these other places. So then it becomes, it's hard to stick it out if you have a lot of good options. So the idea of staying at UCF, probably not. Then it becomes where he might go. I think if you remove Florida from the mix and say Florida hires Chip Kelly, which there's a lot of smoke there now. We're not sure if there's fire, but there's certainly a lot of smoke. If Florida hires Chip Kelly and I'm Nebraska, I'm thinking, okay, my chances are much better now. If I'm comparing Nebraska to Florida, that's tough. That's a tough, Florida can win national championships. There's a lot of recruits in the backyard. Urban Meyer had the choice between Notre Dame and Florida. Urban Meyer is named after a Pope and he picked Florida. So it just shows, there's only so much going home, and that's Nebraska is Scott Frost home will do for you. I guess my answer to your immediate question is I very much doubt we'll see Scott Frost in UCF next year. I do think that there's most likely you'll see him at either Florida, Nebraska, maybe someplace else.
Are you buying John Gruden to Tennessee?
I am not. I got to see it. I'm not. I mean, if it happens, God bless you all, Tennessee.
I can't see it happening.
But this has been such sort of a ridiculous meme and rumor for so long. I just have a hard time seeing a guy who gets paid $7-8 million a year.
He'll take a pay cut to go become a head coach.
Right. And essentially he's working 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. four. Right.
Yeah. Is this guy going to go recruit in Chattanooga on a Tuesday night?
Right. Right. It seems like a big stretch. Yeah.
And then finally, these four big jobs could be open: Nebraska, Florida, Texas A&M, Tennessee. What's the best of the four?
Nebraska, Florida, Texas A&M, Tennessee.
So Florida?
Florida's number one.
Okay.
You're the number one in the state, and you're in a great state to recruit in. If you want me to rank them, I would probably A&M? Put A&M next.
Okay.
Again, because there's a lot of money there. Tennessee and Nebraska have similar issues, though Nebraska's issues are worse as far as recruiting. Tennessee, you still have to go outside the state. You have to go into Georgia and South Carolina and places like that, and that's become a lot more tricky as the SEC has evolved.
Right. Ralph Russo joins us, Associated Press, here on the DA Show in studio. Let's play a little coaching wheel game here. We are not creative enough to figure out a good name for this, but we'll just think of it like an old school 1980s game show. So I'm going to give you some categories. You tell me. You hold up the picture of the coach that identifies with this question, okay? So if you want to watch at watchda.com, play along with us, watch the show. Number one, most overrated college football coach.
Most overrated.
Overrated
college football coach.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Sifting through the pictures.
I think he's pretty good, but I think this fits the bill because of the record.
Jim Harbaugh.
We'll go with Jim.
Overrated.
Well,
yeah. Can't be.
Listen,
he
hasn't won a conference championship. He hasn't done well against Ohio State. I think he's going to be fine long term there. But when you consider where the atmosphere he sort of floats in with these other great coaches,
sure,
and he hasn't done any of those things,
yeah,
you have to say he's a little overrated.
Most underrated head coach in college football.
This one might surprise you.
Okay. Holding up, Brian Kelly.
I think we...
Underrated.
I think because people don't like what they see of Brian Kelly on TV, they don't realize that he's a pretty darn good coach.
Went 4-8 last year.
He's 8-2 this year, though.
That's true. That's true.
Right. Look at the long-term record there. I think that his personality drags him down.
Most obnoxious college football coach.
Can I go back to Harbaugh?
Yes, you can go back to Harbaugh. You can go off the board.
Well, I'll go back to Harbaugh.
Okay,
on this
Harbaugh.
One. I didn't think I was going to go Harbaugh. I didn't think I was going to go Harbaugh on overrated. But when you start weighing things out here, here's the thing. And again, I think when some of his antics can get a little bit like, really, like you're not going to put out a roster, you're not going to put out a depth chart.
Yeah,
like I
petty.
Think that stuff gets a little petty. And what he did last year after the Ohio State game, complaining about the officials to the point where it sort of overshadowed everything else, I thought was a little obnoxious.
So that will bring us to the next question. Biggest whiner. Would that also, are we going to go a threefer with Harbaugh here?
Well, no, I'm going to go away from Harbaugh there. And okay. I really do think
Dabo Swinney is your biggest whiner.
Is a great coach, but you have to understand something. When they adjusted some rules this year to say to crack down on coaches berating officials on the sidelines, he was one of the guys that the officials were like, that guy's got to stand closer to the sidelines. I'm tired of him running out here and yelling at me.
Coach you would most like to have a beer with?
Well, I mean, I'll go the mullet. I mean, because he looks like a guy who you see at the corner bar, right? With a leather jacket, jamming out to, you know, Journey.
Yeah, right? Definitely Journey.
So, I mean, why not?
Either Journey or Asia or Europe. There was some 70s supergroup that he is just rocking out to.
I'm going to go Gundy on that.
Okay. How about who's the best in-game coach?
I'll go with the best coach here, and that's Nick Saban. Not necessarily just Saban's own, because Saban doesn't really do the offense part, but Saban puts people around him who understand how to make adjustments, understand how to attack opponents, you know, his game plans and things like that. Very few teams do it at the level that Alabama does.
And final question, who is the heir apparent to Nick Saban? The guy that when Saban retires, we go, that's the best coach in America, bar none.
All right, I'm going back to the pile then.
Okay.
Because it's the obvious one, and that's Dabo.
Dabo.
But can we do two?
Absolutely.
Can we do a tie here?
It would be these two guys. Kirby Smart in there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kirby is Saban's lieutenant, former lieutenant. He learned under Saban all those years.
You think that highly of Kirby?
So I think that Kirby probably, I think what we see now at Georgia could be what Georgia is. Maybe it's not like an Alabama light, not to that extent, but I think Kirby's going to do well at Alabama. And listen, Dabo went to Alabama. That's, you know, Dabo's a former walk-on wide receiver at Alabama. So I think one of those two guys could possibly be the next Alabama coach.
Before we let you go, can you just hold up the picture of Lane Kiffin in a sombrero?
Well, that was the other one. I was tempted to go with Lane Kiffin as the next Alabama coach just to troll some folks, because that would be the most fun next Alabama coach.
Does Lane Kiffin ever dig himself out of FAU?
Yeah, I can't imagine he won't. I mean, listen, I think at a certain point, you're a good coach, you win games. Somebody will give him a job. I don't think it's necessarily a big job this year, though.
Okay. Ralph Russo joining us here on the show in studio. Why don't you follow him on Twitter for the latest in college football, at Ralph D. Russo AP. If you're a Nebraska fan, if you're a Florida fan, if you're a Tennessee fan, or if you're an A&M fan, and you've got a job opening this offseason, you are following the Scott Frost saga at UCF. He's coaching probably the best non-Power 5 team in America, the best Group of 5 team, and he could get plucked away. So watch for Ralph's piece on Scott Frost coming up. He's going to be covering UCF and Temple coming up this Saturday. So follow him on Twitter, at Ralph D. Russo AP, for the latest. Good to have you drop on by, man.
Always a pleasure to be here, D.A.
Next time we do it, we'll have an eagle soar in with you, okay?
If you can arrange the eagle to soar in with me, that would be pretty cool.
War-Russo! When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. including Tyrod Taylor's response to getting benched for a rookie. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. Some vintage sounds of CBS Sports and the CBS Television Network. Trust the professional parts. People at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like Brake Best and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly! Better parts, better prices every day. Nice job by the Catman back at the simulcast wheels at the mission control of WatchDA.com. Running the new episode of Nomad, which has been released now about 36 hours ago or so. So check it out. And that was my trip down to Auburn. Mraz, I appreciate you before the show catching the episode and actually saying it was one of the best ones that we've had.
I would say that is the, as a person who's seen almost every Nomad, 99% of them, the best Nomad I've watched to date.
Is that right?
Yes. I felt you encaptured a place that for most of America, 2 hours from a major airport, as you find out, where Auburn is, a lot of people don't get to, and you made us feel like we were there through the 12 minutes of Nomad.
Good. Good to hear. It's one of the ones I'm most proud of because everybody down in Auburn was amazing. Got some characters in there as well. My buddy Big Rob, who takes us through the tailgate and is inside the stadium. What you don't see on the episode, which I might release as part of the director's cut next week, some of the outtakes, is that obviously at Jordan-Hare, they don't sell, it's on campus, they don't sell alcohol. So Big Rob was drinking Jim Beam and Coke all day long. He had like three mini, like airplane-sized Jim Beams that he slid into the top of his cowboy boot. And so he had it around his calf, and then he put his jean leg over it, his denim jeans, pants leg over it. Brilliant.
Brilliant. We've all been there.
Brilliant. So I got some footage of that. It didn't make this cut. I wanted to make sure this was the sanitized cutting in case Auburn wanted to use this for promotional purposes.
Alternate ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So check that out. That's on YouTube, our Facebook page, and Twitter, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Then on Twitter, DA on CBS. Kevin tweets, DA, incredible watching the young talent of the NBA last night. Ball and Embiid combining for 48 points and nearly 20 boards. How about Simmons and Embiid? How about Embiid going for 46 points? Joel Embiid was fantastic last night. Kind of this realization of the potential that he has. It's so unfair to compare him to Hakeem, but as a guy with African roots and a guy that learned the game at a late age, a big man with that footwork, Embiid is amazing. Embiid is also so charismatic and funny that it's just, I hope beyond hope that he stays healthy because he could be so great to watch at the NBA. But last night, when you watch Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Karl-Anthony Towns, when you watch Giannis, there are so many brilliant young players just doing incredible things that this league is in good hands for a long time in terms of talent. And a lot of these guys are good dudes, seemingly. They're not getting into trouble off of the court. Embiid seems like a good guy. I mean, Giannis seems like an amazing guy. Karl-Anthony Towns likes comic books and hanging out and just like a big kid. I mean, just really good dudes. We've had a generation now, and I think it started with LeBron and Dwayne Wade. You know, Carmelo to a lesser extent because Carmelo had that snitches get stitches controversy. But for the most part, these are guys that just keep their nose clean off of the court. You know, have a wife, have kids, family guys, and are Hall of Famers. And that has, you know, there's no Kobe rape trials. There's no Allen Iverson off the court stuff. These are just stars that, I mean, LeBron's the most amazing example of this. You know, he's always compared to Michael, but Michael had a massive gambling addiction that may or may not have gotten him secretly suspended from the NBA, depending on if you believe the conspiracy theory or not. LeBron has been in the spotlight since he was 18 years old and has never had a criminal misstep, has never had a public misstep. He's never been, you know, caught on camera doing something awful. And it's just, you know, he had the decision, which is the worst misstep of his life, which is announcing where he was going to go on television. It's been amazing to watch, and it just kind of continues. A lot of good guys in the league. Williams in Fort Worth, Texas, listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. What's up, Will?
DA, man, long time. I need a Bima.
All right, bud. Yeah, man, what's going on?
Hey, man, hey, before I get to my point, I woke up like at 1 in the morning, and I started listening to your show because I got that guilty pleasure. I miss the overnights, you know, so from this day forward, I'm just going to listen to your show podcasting at night. So it kind of reminds me of what it used to be 3 years ago.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So live the overnight life again with us. I like that.
Exactly. But listen to the new show. So, you know, hey, try to get the best of both worlds in my mind.
I like it. I appreciate that very much. That's what's great. It's DA on demand. Whenever you want to listen to the show, you can listen to the whole show.
Yeah. Because if you remember, it wasn't the first year and a half. It wasn't on podcast. You had to get it pretty much on the radio or you missed it.
I think we had best of clips, but we certainly didn't have the whole episode. You're right.
Exactly. So my point real quick, DA, this whole thing with Jerry Jones and living in the Fort Worth, the Dallas area, it's insane. I mean, let's be honest. His ego is hurt. The owners are going against him. And what do billionaires and rich people do when they get their egos hurt? Or they feel they've been wrong, they go to court because they have the money to do it. And from the NFLPA perspective, they're looking at this thinking, this is great. Keep this up because hopefully if the CBA comes around and they're still having problems, that'll be good for us. You know what I mean?
No doubt. I think that this is a situation where Jerry Jones, his ego has run wild. It's run wild for a couple of years, for a long time, because he's been so influential. He's made that league a lot of money. He's helped push the business side of things to the forefront. He ends up getting into the Hall of Fame, and now he feels untouchable. And he finally was the team that got nailed. And they were docked a draft pick a couple of years ago for spending over the salary cap. But in this case, he feels it's a personal affront because he felt that Roger Goodell was in his back pocket. And Goodell came down hard on Zeke. He felt it was unfair, and now he's going scorched earth, and it's just out of control. And it's a sad look. It's a bad look. It feels like Al Davis by the end, just picking fights and becoming the ostracized owner of the NFL. It doesn't have to be this way, and it's just so hypocritical because Jerry has always been a Roger Goodell foot soldier, or at least I shouldn't say that because that suggests that Goodell lords over him. But he has been a supporter, an ally of Goodell, and promoting him. Then the moment that Goodell does something against him, it's, I want him fired, I want him out, and I will rattle cage until I get my way. It's very six-year-old, didn't get my way, so I'm spilling my cereal all over the floor. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, was 5-2 a couple of weeks ago. Lost his last two games. The Bills are still 5-4. And yet, while 8-8 might get you into the AFC playoffs, and the Bills haven't been there since 99, Sean McDermott decided to go with rookie Nate Peterman, and Tyrod not thrilled.
Disappointed. That's one of the feelings, but definitely just disappointed. Like I said, I don't agree with the decision, but ultimately, Coach McDermott has a vision for this team, what he feels is best for the team, as well as the owners and GM. So I have to move forward and continue to be the teammate and the leader that I am from a different role.
Well, frankly, I don't really agree with this decision either, because I think the Bills could get a lot out of making a playoff game. in the playoffs. Maybe you don't expect them to go very far, but a 9-7 Bills team more than likely gets in when you see that final slot for the wild card of the AFC. If we assume the Jaguars and Titans are both 10-6, 9-7, that the loser of the division would get one, and then it's between sub 500 teams outside of the Bills, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Ravens. You know, all you got to do is steward this thing to a couple more wins, and I would trust Tyrod, who got you five already and has been in the league quite a long time. I know that McDermott inherited Tyrod Taylor, but it's not like Nate Peterman's banging on the door as a fifth-round draft pick that you got to get him in. I think it's a little too soon, and I don't like the way Bill O'Brien, Butchin McGee, has handled his quarterbacks. It's been very desperate, very urgent, no patience. Kind of feel like McDermott makes this move, and it feels a little bit like the same thing. You have two bad games, then suddenly we got to get him out of there. Now, I say this with this caveat. If behind the scenes, Tyrod Taylor's lost faith and support from his teammates and the locker room starting to splinter and McDermott sees it going sideways, then, you know, those are things we can't see and we don't know, but this feels premature to me. We're going to ask former Bills great Steve Tasker about this move coming up at 20 minutes past the hour. Nick Saban doesn't understand how worn-looking jeans are popular.
I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore-out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I just shamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how we get here.
Well, this is such a my dad take that I love it. You could totally see Papa Mendo. Yeah, I just went to the mall. What's going on with all these kids? They got these tattered jeans and stuff. I mean, oh, you're ripping up your own jeans? And when I went to school, you had new jeans. I mean, you don't want the holes in the jeans. Hey, you get drafts going on in the jeans. You're cutting up your jeans? So I kind of appreciate it from that standpoint. I got to say, though, that, you know, Nick Saban's calling out kids that are trying to look cool. Nick Saban dyes his hair. I'm just saying. You know, all these old coaches that don't want to look too old, so they make sure that they're tanned and they got no gray, are kind of doing the same thing, trying to fit in and look cool. They don't get tattered jeans, which, frankly, I don't really get either. But, you know, there's a reason that you're also faking that you don't have gray hair at 66 years old, Nick. Mraz, did you used to wear the tattered jeans back in high school because you were a JNCO jeans kind of guy?
They weren't tattered. When I was wearing, they were the baggy.
Like oversized.
Way oversized, which looking back, ridiculous.
Bad look.
Bad look. Now I want them as tight as can be on me.
Do you?
I love a good skinny jeans. If fatter, wider jeans make me look fatter. I have enough fat going on that I don't need jeans to make me look fatter, so I prefer a tighter look on pants, and it deceives people. Like, oh, you're losing some weight? Yes, I am. When in reality, you are not.
I've got an embarrassing admittance as well that I wasn't really into the skinny jeans thing. My girlfriend's like, look, I would love to see you in skinny jeans. And I'm like, eh. So then finally, I had to go get a new pair of pants, and they were kind of like skinny pants. They were like halfway there. She's like, I love those on you. I love those. You look great in those. I love those. So, you know, I start getting a big head. I'm like, all right, okay. I wore them on one of these cold days here in New York a couple of days ago. They were great. It was like yoga pants. I'm like,
strapped
these
on.
Are so warm. You wear baggy pants, the draft comes up. You feel like there's too much space, cold air around your thighs and legs. The skinnier the pant leg, the warmer you stay. I had no idea about this.
Yeah, I would also say when you wear the skinnier jeans, I got to be honest, you're working with some big lower center of gravity back there. It really is defined. Big rumpus there.
Are you saying I've got a big butt?
Yes. I never noticed you're behind. But when you wear the tight jeans, I got to be honest, you got a lot of junk in the trunk.
Is that a compliment?
I think it's a compliment because you're very skinny all over the place, and that's where the, you know, when you're eating the barbecue on Nomad, we know where it's going.
It is a, yeah, my family has very strong legs. They've got big thighs, big legs, big butt.
Very deceiving behind.
Yeah, but, you know, I try to make sure that it's not too flabby or gross. It's hopefully put together.
Again, I wouldn't know the reality of that, but the tight jeans at least hold everything together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't have a flat butt, that's for sure.
No, it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. You got a lot cooking back there. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Chubbo.
Puffiness with sodium.
Now I know, you know, what kind of gal Amber Lee is with these skinny jeans.
She likes, I guess so. she likes something to hang on to, I suppose. Now that's your sound check. So we're going to have Steve Tasker join us coming up at the 20-minute spot of the next hour. So about 27 minutes from now, we'll talk to Steve Tasker about the decision by the Bills to go to a rookie quarterback while they're in the thick of the playoff race. But when we come back, let's also talk about the Steelers-Titans game tonight. Because for the Steelers, all of these weapons that they have on offense, they have yet to hit the 30-point mark. Yet to hit the 30-point mark. Why is that? We'll try to dissect the problems with Pittsburgh's attack coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.